As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today's guest, we have Vanessa Gonzalez. Hey Vanessa. Hey.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yep. I'm super excited to chat about all of your instant photography, but before we get into that, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and kind of giving us a background on how you got into photography?
Yeah, sure. Hi, guys. I'm Vanessa. I have this Instagram handle, Vanessa Photo Project, that I started in 2020. Was it? January 1st, 2021. It was a New Year's resolution thing.
Ooh.
So... how I got into photography, specifically, it was instant photography, and I had been taking pictures. I think I got super heavy into instant photography when I was like 16 or 15 in high school.
Oh,
me and
cool.
all of my friends would like hit up the thrift stores in Southern California. This is Ventura, like south of Los Angeles. So we thought we were super cool, all having like these old Land cameras that had been fixed up. And we would just take pictures of everything, like document our whole lives. I think before I moved to San Francisco, I just donated all of my photographs, and it was like boxes of actual like like film from my teens and my early 20s. And then I stopped taking pictures, I'd say from like 24 up until I was like 34. There was like a decade there that I just didn't take any instant photos. I was just using like my Canon digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that point, like it didn't feel meaningful. Like I wasn't capturing real memories. I mean, sure, there were like cool pictures from when I traveled, but they weren't special. Sort of like the ones that had, I still think about like from my youth, like specific photos that I no longer have. And then I got back into photography with this New Year's resolution that I'd had that sort of sprouted from my my recent move to Florida, where I am now. I was like in the super pandemic funk where I moved here to get out of the city and kind of start anew, just because like pandemic city life had gotten so challenging for me and my boyfriend. Yeah. We lived in this like 566 square foot studio downtown Oakland. So like that'll make you go crazy.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So just getting out here, it was helpful, but I like didn't work for 8 months or something. And I kind of just like cashed out my retirement just to live comfortably for a while. Mm. But doing nothing every day like didn't help. So I thought about doing something tangible, kinetic, interesting, creative, something that I just do better when I'm doing something creative. Yeah. Like I was a culinary student in San Francisco when the pandemic hit. So I had to like drop that and I had to stop teaching in person. So like I always kind of need to keep my hands busy with something.
Yeah.
So a kinetic photo project just seemed like the thing to do. And that's kind of where like Vanessa Photo Project sprouted. And I'm like almost 30% complete with the 1,000 photos. I kind of thought I'd be a lot farther along though.
I wanted to ask like, do you limit yourself? Is it one a day? Or is it like, if I want to take five, I'm going to take five? Or like,
actually, you know, I originally had written like, I'm going to be doing one photo post a day, but that was just like not sustainable because I'd have to make sure I was like near my scanner every day. And some days, like I just didn't want to be on my computer. Yeah. Right. So I had like, I realized like 100 photos in, I think I like made a post about it. Like, I'm only going to post when I want to, because I can't be like this connected to social media. I'm like, it's like,
yeah.
I'm 36 now. I'm going to be 36 now. I can't be connected all the time. I need downtime.
Right. I'm with you on that. Yeah. That's why I never start like a 365 project. I've always wanted to do one. I feel so bad on the days where it's like, okay, there's a fire hydrant. That's what it's going to be today. Yeah, you know, I don't have time. Yeah. So that's why I always make it to like day 23 or something. And then I'm like, okay, this is too much. I'm done.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with a fire hydrant. You can write like, I literally have nothing to contribute today. Here's a picture of a fire hydrant. Yeah, I know that's relatable to all of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man. So true.
Yeah. So tell us about how, so the project, it's 1,000 photos. How far are you?
Exactly. I think this morning I posted the 280th picture.
Okay.
Let's see. Actually, this morning I posted photo 281.
Wow.
Oh, man. It's been like a year and a half and I'm at 281. Oh, well, also there was like a couple of weeks there I had no camera. I break a lot of cameras. I am upfront about that though, because I take my cameras to the beach and I put them in a tote bag. So they always end up with sand and they slowly begin to malfunction. But Lomography replaced one or two of them. And then I just bought another one. And then the Instax camera, I just repurchase on Amazon because it's so cheap.
I love Lomography. We love them. Shout out.
Big fans. So what made it Lomography or Instax? Like what instead of, you know, say Polaroid or something like that?
I did like a lot of Polaroid in my teens and 20s. But with the amount of film I go through, it's just financially a better idea for me to have Instax in bulk. Like I have 1,000 photos on like blanks on hand at all times. So I always just like tuck a couple boxes in my bag whenever I'm going out. I just can't do that with Polaroid. I just couldn't afford it. It's so expensive now.
It is. And I was just telling Timothy, like, I used to say, like, oh, well, like, Instax is for, like, the parties. You can just, like, take cool pictures of friends. But, like, you know, Polaroid's, like, the artsy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I stand corrected. Your Instagram is, like, such an, like, an art project, obviously. And I just, like, it makes me think about, you know, when you set up, like, you know, the rules thing, we like set up rules to like break them. You can take an artsy photo on anything, you know, and I love that.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be like aesthetically perfect or a technically proficient photo. Like a lot of my photography in its essence is like an echo of the writing that accompanies it. Or I write something and then I look for a photo that I've taken that day and I pair it with that. Mm. It's very like symbiotic. So I actually was talking yesterday. My my boyfriend was a photography teacher in the Bay Area for a public high school. And we have very different ideas of what a good photograph is. like he'll look at one of my pictures and he'll like, I'll have him look at all the photos from my day. It's just like one of my things. I like lay them out and then I have him rate them. It's just between us. Like, it's nothing that I would ever, like, do in public.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that he likes are the ones that I have, like, no emotional attachment to. It's so weird. That's always the case. Like, he likes things that, like, are perfectly centered and have the Fibonacci spiral and all of this other stuff. Like, that ain't for me. I like photographs that, like, I don't know, make me feel something.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that for sure. Yeah, it always cracks me up too, because that's how, you know, when I used to post on Instagram regularly, I would always try to pick the crowd favorite photo. And it's just funny how that doesn't always work out, because again, like, what you think is great isn't automatically what somebody else is. It's so subjective. Like, photography is just it just doesn't matter, you know. It's somebody's going to either connect to it or they're not. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then with Instagram, I always had the problem of like, if I post something and it's not like the same aesthetic, I'm like, I'll delete it, you know. My Instagram, yeah, to all be like, you know, you overthink the Instagram nowadays. It drives me crazy.
I don't have that problem. I've never had to delete anything. If it's like, it doesn't look right, that's fine. I leave it. Like,
that's good.
I think that's kind of the point too. Like, I'm just going to post whatever I want from the day. I think that's important, because you know what? I feel like there's like a billion people that actively use that specific social media website or app.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's so easy to get lost in the static of all of these pages that look the same.
Right.
But like, we're all unique individuals. We don't have to be like anybody else or, you know, strive to imitate somebody else's art form. Like, we're just here to like be our unique voice. Like, we're all special. We're like snowflake.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I love that. And it's like a reminder to like stay out of your head in so many aspects of this, you know, like,
yeah,
we talk about comparing ourselves to other people and our work and stuff like that. And like, I do it with cameras, like, oh, they have that camera. That's what I need. I need that. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. I definitely like write about things that can be uncomfortable, like loss, past, right, loves, grief, depression. And I hope that like being transparent in my own experiences, like while I'm writing these short musings for each photograph, it sort of is like a beacon for other like-minded people who might feel lost in a sea of a billion people who don't feel seen or heard, you know, about their sadness or whatever it is they're dealing with. So I kind of hope that my project serves as that too, something hopeful that, yeah, even through all of the haze of depression and, you know, life in a pandemic, it's hard for everyone. Life isn't easy for anybody, that like people feel seen and, I don't know, if anything, that they have somebody on this social media they can reach out to. A couple of people have private messaged me.
That's
about
awesome.
Some of the things I've written, and it's nice to be able to have them, you know, feel comfortable enough to reach out.
Do you think this project,
yeah,
I don't want to say, but like, is it like super cathartic for you in general?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it has,
yeah,
to be,
definitely,
right? That's awesome.
Yeah, I've always had this thing with like helping people, yeah, and I don't know, doing the right thing. I was thinking about that right before this podcast, like, why am I the way that I am? Like, I was just talking about that earlier today. It was like one of those questions that was in my head, like, why am I the way that I am?
Hmm.
Like, if that question came up in the podcast, and it was like hard to respond, I think my initial response was, I don't know.
But then
I thought about it more. And I think it's like, I actually do feel like I'm here to help other people, even through my art. If I can do that through art, then it is like the best thing I can do. Mm. It's like creative catharsis as a human who is like continually evolving, just like everybody else. And if I can use this social media platform to feel that and experience that, then that's effing awesome.
I love that.
Yeah. And you mm-hmm. totally get that from your work too. I mean, that's what stuck out to me as well. Like, even I wanted to ask you, because you have frames mm-hmm. where they're just blank
mm-hmm.
and then you write on them. Now, is that something where the photograph didn't work?
Oh, yeah, all
or is
the
that
time.
Just kind of like a
yeah.
Okay. I was really curious about that. Yeah.
And the black ones are when I half the time I forget to take off the little like lens protector or lens cap on my camera, and I'm like, shit, well, I'm not gonna waste it. Like, with the photographs that are like I can't use, I just turn them into bookmarks or I cut them up and use them in collage.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it's really cool to write things that make people feel something important. Like, I write a little bit of poetry mm-hmm. and prose, short story, fiction, nonfiction. I have my first poetry being published this year, so that's super cool.
Oh, wow, congrats.
Thank
you.
Congrats.
But yeah, I like to use those those photos that didn't turn out as working spaces or canvases for words that spark something inside of other people. And words are so powerful that they can evoke a strong emotion. And actually this morning, one of my photographs just got like 196,000 likes. And I was like, whoa. It was like one of the the ones, the blank ones that I had written on. It was about like lost love and how it's like an emotional crater that we all have to navigate. And it's like, even with all of the hardships and tears, it's like something that I would not want to have in my life or have not experienced. And that resonates with everyone. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. So that hit me. Yeah. See, I just always wish so bad that I had the writing aspect. I feel like I can handle the photograph stuff. I definitely got that down. But like I've always wanted to combine the medium. You know what I mean? The photo and the writing. It's just like when I try to paint something. It's stick figures and then I try to write and I get way too over something. And then I look at it the next day and I'm like, oh, goodness. Oh, what was I thinking? I feel like you have it down, and it makes a lot of sense when I read through your stuff. What do you think? What do you think the end goal of the 1,000 photographs and words are? What are you gonna do when it's over after you hit 1,000?
With these, I think I wanna I would like to publish a small book with what I've learned after this project is completed. Oh, it would be nice if I could have some downtime afterward to maybe travel and think about everything that had happened since 2020 to whenever this ends. And hopefully I will have altered my lens a little bit to appreciate the small things in life that I was sort of taking for granted, I think, as the pandemic started. And then, of course, I would like to, I think if I could have some writing in that afterwards, primarily writing with like some of the photographs, that would be my end goal. Also, I want to travel when I'm done with this. I'm hoping it will be.
Yeah.
I would like to hopefully do another project when this is done. I kind of have some stuff in my head what I could do, but we'll see.
Ooh.
I don't know.
That's good.
So are you keeping yourself from working on any other projects before you finish this?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of us won't finish and start. I know.
I'll start 20 things at once and never get one of them done. So
other projects. I mean, I'm always kind of busy with something. I'm trying to teach myself some songs on piano. That's kind of been, it's like its own thing.
Oh, great.
I'm studying wine. So I'm like in wine school right now, which is something that I'm kind of focusing on. But creatively, I mean, I still want to have like a separate book of poetry myself, like just poetry. That's kind of been on like the back burner. I haven't updated my website in like 2 years or something.
I know. We're all guilty
of
that.
I think there's a lot of things that like I'm working on. But at least I have this photo project that like I've kind of made a public commitment to. So I can't really like not do it.
That's good. You know, having some way to hold it accountable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to ask you about, in the beginning, you said you donated all of your photographs. First of all, what brought that on? Do you regret it? And yeah, just what talk us through that.
Okay. So,
I was about to be like, hold up, what?
Like,
I
never said that.
So I was moving out of my hometown from Ventura in Southern California to San Francisco. And I was like 24, I think. And I was thinking like, new place, new me. Like, I didn't want to have any like photographs from like my party years and my friends. I kind of just wanted to start fresh in a new city, just new experiences. I just needed I think I might have just found myself in a toxic place at the time and I needed a little refresh. And I'm actually really good at getting rid of things. Like, I do a whole like cleansing every once in a while. I feel like, I mean, that's just me speaking. I do have like a whole closet worth of dresses I don't even wear. So I don't know.
Where did you donate them?
I donated a lot of my stuff before the move, just to like, there was like a Goodwill, I think, downtown Ventura that took all of my items.
Did they take they'll take photographs? I didn't even.
Yeah, you could drop off like anything, essentially. I think they just keep what they can potentially sell. But I do know I've purchased old photographs, like vintage style there. So I'm not necessarily sure they resold my Polaroids. Who knows?
Now, was it Impossible Project Polaroid or was it like the OG?
Oh, I think it was both. I feel like I remember Impossible specifically, like buying it online way back when it was like early on and it had just started to gain traction and be available.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. That was a long time ago.
I know.
Man, those were the days. Yeah, that's when it was like $40 pack.
I remember. I think I bought them on like eBay or some like, I don't even remember. It was some weird website. Like, and I was thinking, this is so expensive, but it's like old school Polaroid film. I have to get it.
Mm-hmm. I could never let go of my photographs like that. I still have, you know, back in the 80s and 90s when it was like doubles and quadruples every time you got your, it's like the same four pictures of me and my dog laying on the floor at like 7 years old. I can't seem to get rid of any of them. But people do buy photographs. Mm-hmm. Alex Soth, our former guest, he was buying photographs by the pound. You know what I mean? And like, it's a pretty big market. You see it on eBay and stuff too. I wonder, I always look for old like Kodachrome slides when I go to thrift stores and stuff. I always like to buy them, and they've become really expensive in the last couple years too.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I think there's just this
nostalgia.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? A lot of people were making lampshades and art out of them that you can project light through them. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's becoming a kind of, at least that's what I've seen on TikTok.
There's an artist that my husband really likes. I don't know the name, but she draws ghosts on the people in the photograph. Yeah. I don't know her name, but we just bought like a 4x6 and it's like really cool. So that's like one thing. But yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like nostalgia really drives people.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's such a motivator for, I don't know, doing the things that we do.
Yeah. I'm like a huge, like I feel like there's people who have like collector personality or mentality, obviously.
Right here.
Everybody listening, we all know, have a million cameras. It's ridiculous. But like nostalgia is like such a part of it. You know, like I want the camera from the 80s and the 90s. And I bought the entire like Goosebumps collection off eBay a couple years ago because like that was what I was read as a kid and I loved it. So I bought them all, you know, like it's anything 90s I want. Like it's all nostalgia. That's it.
I got it. I remember those Goosebumps nights. I was in the Goosebumps like book club. Do you remember getting like that big box that would be delivered like once a month with like little knickknacks in it?
Yeah.
I'm jealous. Goosebumps just it just wasn't on my radar. I was what was her name? Beverly Cleary, I think was my jam. The mouse in the motorcycle and all those. Yeah, loved her. She was my.
That was like the G-rated Goosebumps.
Yes,
Goosebumps
was
like PG. They're spooky.
Man. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I think that's why a lot of us are returning. Well, I don't want to speak for the whole community, but a lot of the reasons why some of us are returning to film is because of the nostalgia aspect of it. And just we talked about like the tangible part of it and stuff like that. Do you feel it's like that for you, Vanessa?
I mean, I definitely like the tangible aspect. I like holding my photographs.
Yeah.
And I'm like one of those people with short attention span. So I need instant gratification. So I need to take a picture and I need to hold it when it comes out. And I need to like play with it and look at it. So there's that. I don't know if it's nostalgia necessarily for me. I know that is like, well, too, I find myself prefacing like a tangent, kids today, .. like they don't know life before apps, before oversharing, before cameras like this, before like the retrospect website wasn't supposed to be retro. It was just like, that's just what we had.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my Barbie little pink camera.
Oh yeah.
Like, it wasn't ironic. Like that's just what we had back then in the late 80s.
Right.
I think because we're so digitally like induced in every single thing that we do, like and every single thing that we touch, it's all like technological. Like this need for analog and kinetic and touch and a world outside of overconnectedness is something that we like actually crave. It's not just like the baseline or the normal of existence. It's something that like we have to go out of our way to experience. And I guess that is sort of the nostalgic aspect, us like remembering a time when things were different or less evolved.
For me, it's the how compact discs when CDs came out, it was like crystal clear sound. And when digital cameras came out, it was like the sharpest image you can possibly get with this big and da da da. You know, it was all about perfection. action. And with the analog stuff, you know, 35 millimeters, so gritty, like instant photography just has like a coating on it, almost like a magical mm-hmm. little sprinkle that you put on everything. That, you know, that's why we still listen to LPs. We like the hiss and the pop and the crackle of a record, or yeah. the warble of a cassette tape. Like there's something about it. And the kids, I feel like kids, younger people, I don't want to say kids, I feel bad saying that, sorry yeah. guys, like little guys that are coming up and mm-hmm. finding their parents like cassette tapes and stuff, and their, you know, their Sony Walkmans and their old headphones, and they're finding something so like magical about it. Or maybe they're not, I don't know what the, if it's a trend or if it's just like they're finding what we mm-hmm. kind of found in it, or what we refound when we came back to it, you know, when I found my box of old cassettes and my Walkman and my mix CDs and all that stuff. That I just think there's something so not perfect about the analog world that's so warming. Like it's like warm, like a warm mm. kind of, you feel close to it, and you get to hold it too, like the whole tangible thing mm. like you get to like feel it, and you're not scrolling on your phone mindlessly, or, you know, reading your Kindle and getting a migraine because of the blue light. You're actually opening a book and enjoying it. And I don't know why I went off on a rant there, but I just felt that's what I love about it, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah.
plus what we're doing, like my stepdad and I, we do an antique booth. And it's funny to think of what's antique
oh, yeah.
in 2022. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I'm taking like cassette tapes and cassette players, and we're selling LPs, and we're selling film cameras, and we're selling, you know, just the stuff that I kind of grew up with, like Speak and Spell. I found an awesome Speak mm. and Spell, and like, so I'm selling it at the antique booth. That was something I grew up with. It was, I feel like kids are finding that stuff again. And it's, I guess we probably did that with our parents' stuff, didn't we? Like when we found our, or maybe, I mean, I know I was into like records and cassettes that my parents had and stuff like that, cameras and weird stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
My brother has my dad's whole like record stereo system. He
oh,
had like,
man, nice.
He was just like, I'm taking it out of the basement. I'm taking it.
It's mine.
Yeah, records are nice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess I get used to music now on my iPhone, but I do remember like the joy of putting in a cassette. Like the last cassette tape that like I distinctly remember holding in my hand was probably Ace of Base.
Yes. Nice. I listened to Ace of Base cassette on the bus in fourth grade. Oh, my God.
And like there is like a joy like that comes from having to hear every single song and like touching the little paper that came in the little mm-hmm. plastic cassette holder and like looking for lyrics to like the sign, even though I don't even know how I memorized it. I probably memorized it from listening to like the same song on repeat, like pushing rewind yep. and pushing play. Yep. Yeah, it's nice. And back then it felt more special too, because you could over listen to something and then at some point that little like plastic music cassette will do that one sound like rah, 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 yep, and then yep. it like it breaks on you and then it's over, and you know that's like all the time you had, even after you tried to like fix it with a pencil yep, and like rewind yep, it back yep. up and it's still broken. It had a finite time and it was so special. I don't even listen to all the music I have on my phone, and I have like 3,000 songs probably.
Yeah. Do you like give photos away? Do you give out your pieces of art, or do you like keeping them all for yourself, or are you going to sell them as like separate little things? It would be cool.
So with these specific photos that I've posted, I don't give those away, okay. but I take photos of people and give those away like on the street.
Yeah.
I give away photos that haven't been posted just because I do actually want to hold on to these ones in case I do end up working on that that book when I'm finished. So it's probably better that I just hold on to these. But then at some point when I'm finished, it would be so cool if I can have an art show with all of the photos and somehow incorporate all of the text that went with it. So it would be like my own show. I mean, actually, some of these photos that I've posted have been part of art shows here.
Oh, awesome.
In group shows, but I haven't had my own show yet.
Okay, two-part question. How do you plan to, like, display them? Do you have any thought that far ahead or figure out when you get there?
Oh, for the thousand of them?
Yeah.
I haven't really thought too much about that. But the three-part series that I've done with, like, just three of the pictures, I just frame them individually because it's only three photos, but 1,000, I'm going to require like its own space and yeah. figure out the framing of that, because that'll be kind of a pain to individually frame each one.
Or just like have it all on the wall, so when you like walk around They'll be like rows.
But then also at the same time, like I want people to be able to handle them and touch them. So like, what if I put that, but then I don't want them to be stolen. So I have thought about that. Like I want people to actually touch them and examine them and look at them.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Cause like you, the tangible part of it, that's really cool. The other thing, if you were to do a book, it would be cool if like you did 1,000 presses or whatever, 1,000.
Ooh.
And then you open it and you have one picture in there that's the actual photo.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. That's such a good idea. Yeah. I would do that. That's good.
You know, you could make a duplicate too with one of the Fuji printers. They'd make a Fuji Instax wide printer. So you'd still probably be able to make a duplicate so you wouldn't have to give the full original away.
I don't want to make a duplicate.
I'd
want to give away the real thing. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right. Well, yeah, I guess it doesn't matter because you are all about giving your photos away. So it's
it doesn't matter to me. She'll be okay. I'm gonna give everything away.
Like us will be like, that sunset photo. Damn it. Yeah. Give that away.
I have like 100 sunset pictures. Sunset's
not a good one to use as an example because.
That's so funny. This morning I was thinking, well, all I have is a sunset photo from this week. So that's what the people are getting. Another fucking sunset picture.
So good though. It's so good.
Yeah. I can't help it. It's what I see. Click.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about making like larger prints of these Instax?
Oh, I tried at like a local, like a Kinko's Express down the street. Mm-hmm. I actually went in and said, can you make me the nicest enlarged picture of this? And he made me a few copies and I just didn't like the way it looked. Mm-hmm. I would have to figure something else out. I just wanted to see.
Yeah. And you said you scan them. Do you use like a flatbed or something like that to scan them? Yeah.
I went to Best Buy and got a flatbed.
Yeah. When you're Polaroid shooting, that's a must have.
Yeah. It's the only way to do it.
Polaroid makes like a really cool app for scanning their Polaroids. I don't know if you've ever used it, but it's really hard to not have the reflection of like your phone in it. So they like
or
tell
your head. You're like head in there.
That's kind of funny though.
It is. It's kind of a way to put yourself in it a little bit. But
yeah, just like throw a peace sign up there too. Like
yeah. I've had some good luck with scanning Polaroids and making, you know, I think my printer goes up to 13 by 19 or something like that. So,
That'd be cool to make them like really big.
Yeah, I've done that with one of my mom's cats passed away, and for Christmas or a birthday or something, I made her a copy of one of my Instax, and it came out really, really cool. So, I think it's possible.
I'll say, Vanessa, I haven't had the urge to shoot Instax in a while, but now I'm like super inspired to like get out my wide Instax camera. And
mine's
just
right there.
Oh yeah, I can see it right there.
I like the wide. Yeah, it's nice. You got a lot in it. That's beautiful, and it's like it's just fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. I like the sound. I like the sound it makes. It's not the same as like a, you know, a Polaroid camera. They're a little more aggressive than the Instax cameras.
That's true. I definitely know the sound of a Polaroid camera. It's almost like, yeah, you're right. It is more aggressive. The Instax comes out a little more gently. It's like,
Hello.
Zoop. Yeah.
And I see you use the Lomo Instant Wide.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good camera.
It's cool.
Yeah, because you get to do like, do you ever mess with the double exposures or bulb mode or anything? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I do both.
Yeah, they're so much fun. I was kind of hoping they would update that soon to give us a little more control. But, you know, for the longest time, I just used the normal Instax Wide. I think it's the 300. Is that what it was called? I forget.
Yeah, 310, I think.
Yeah, it's been long since. Well, I think they have like 3 or 4 different ones. But do you ever shoot any other stuff? Like, do you ever shoot like 35 millimeter or anything like that?
No. Honestly, I have like so much art stuff right now. Like with all of my paint, it takes up like 3 big containers worth. And then with all of my film and backup and used film, I have like, I'm just getting more and more containers of stuff. I really can't handle another camera. I think about it often though, like I need a new camera, but I can't do that to myself and the space that I have.
I like the control that you have because
that's one thing I don't have.
That's not what I have at all.
See, it's not even cameras. It's like you said, you have your art stuff, you know, you probably have writing stuff around, you know, and it's just
all my books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep complaining about my space here. I'm like, man, I need more room. We got to do something about getting me some more room. And then I look around. It's like I have a full drum set up. I have guitars everywhere. I have all my developing equipment and then all my cameras and then one little chair I get to relax on in the corner. It's like, it's my fault. I'd probably have more room if I would just like not be into 27 things at once.
No, that's awesome. I would love to have a drum kit.
Mm. It is fun. I mean, yeah. Neighbors love it. They just love it.
I'm sure.
They
love it. In high school, my friend's dad was in a band. So in their house, they had like a recording studio. So we would get to play with his drums and guitars and bass and whatever else he had in there. It was like so cool because it was like completely soundproof. So we could just go crazy in there. It was like the most fun.
Yeah, that would be a dream. To have soundproofing. I'm just lazy. I don't play that much. I basically got them just so I could add drums to things when I'm writing music because I was really not into the sound of, you know, again, an analog guy just being into it.
Yeah,
and can't handle
the real thing.
Yeah, I can't handle like drum sequencing. It's just not my thing.
I love my little drum sequencing that happened like when I want to play with other people and it's just me. And I'm working on my keyboard, I'll do like the little drum add-in. Uh-huh. So it's like I'm playing with somebody in the room and it's like da 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 da, and there's like a little beat. So it's like there's a party with one person and like you're having a lot of fun. And then you realize like you're 35 years old and you're like jamming out to yourself and you're like playing like this. It's like so funny and absurd, but totally hilarious. If you can't laugh at yourself,
right.
There's like, I don't know what to say.
Right.
No, and I definitely catch myself in that and I work at a music store too, so it's even funnier. Like we have designated studios for music lessons because we have different teachers for things. And I always like find myself in the teacher that has off that day's room, like playing their piano or banging on the electric drum kit or, you know, playing guitar. And those are soundproof rooms and they have windows and it's, you know, people walk past and they're like, you're not supposed to be in there, Tim. Can you come out and try to get back on the floor? I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I just had to let it out.
No, it's fun. It's so fun to nerd out and just have fun. And I think that's like people who take pictures like this, they like to have fun. And I'm one of those people. I just like to do things that are enjoyable and feel good. Taking photos feels good.
Yes.
It does. It's very therapeutic. Yeah.
Did you expect the Instagram to kind of take off the way that it has? You've got quite a bit of a following from
I expected it. No. I don't think I had any expectations. I just wanted to do something.
Yeah.
It's kind of just my 1,000 photo project. And it seems to speak to people, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when I, if people find something that speaks to them, they want to read more. And I'm so glad that my writing has captured so many people's attentions.
It really is a beautiful, like, little spot on the internet. I will say that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think
so,
too. Sometimes I reread things that I have written from a year ago. I have a really bad memory, so I won't remember that I've written something. And I'll go back and I'll read something and I'll think, oh, my gosh. That is so beautiful. I can't believe I wrote that. Also, I don't remember writing it.
Whoa.
So it's like new to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck happened. I must have had like COVID or something early on because my memory has like increasingly gotten worse since 2020.
I think mine has too. I feel that too.
We're getting older.
Yeah.
It could be that. Or getting older. Don't know.
I've been noticing like back on like the nostalgia part, especially now that I have a son. I was saying, like, you guys were talking about wishing you could write, and I was like, I wish I had, like, journaled his birth and, like, his like, first.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody's like, it's going to go by fast, and this and this is, like, these experiences. And I do my best to document them with photos, but I really wish I had written something. Because the other night I was talking to my husband, I'm like, do you remember what was it like when he first came out? Did he cry right away? When they put him on me, like I was just asking him all these questions. He's like, you know, you were there. And I was like, I know, but I want to like relive it. You know, I wish I had just like that night been like.
You probably were a little too tired for that.
Yeah.
To whip out your typewriter.
Yeah. I mean, you'd just gone through like a physical trauma, I think. You were just, your body was full of adrenaline and like ecstasy and love and all of these different emotions coming out of nowhere.
And that's what I wanted to like hold on to. But anyway.
Man.
That was a tangent. Go ahead.
No, but I mean, I think you could document, like, or give, I've given some of my, actually, when I was working at some preschools, I've definitely given away Instax cameras to students because, no, you know, actually, I did at one of, like, I worked at this farm school and I did a whole thing on, like, children's photography.
Oh, cool.
And I made the kids handle, like, both, like, my nice, like, Canon camera and I think I bought, like, an Instax or something cheap for them just to, like, go play around with and take pictures and write about it. So that they could experience like their own individuality and like expressing their interests like creatively. And they actually came up with like really weird, interesting things. Like they would photograph like oranges, I don't know, like dirt, because that was interesting to them.
Wow.
And I'd be like, okay, so like, what do you want me to write with this picture? And then they would tell me verbatim and then I'd like, you know, write it out for them. And then we'd have like an art show.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
But like, it's so interesting. Like, kids can do anything.
Yeah, I can't like wait to.
That,
I mean, I'm not gonna push anything on him, you know, but he might be surrounded by cameras. And hopefully, he'll be like, "Mom, I want to try that." But that's like a good little experiment to do. Like, go, like, see what you see, and then tell me about it. Oh my God, I love that. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
I know.
Kids are cool because, like, they're unabashed. They don't care, like, what if, like, they hurt your feelings. They're just like honest 24/7, and it's hilarious and wonderful.
Can you imagine if we kept that as an adult? As adults, if we just. It's probably good that we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've learned how to filter most of the time. I've started to peek a little bit, like my personal persona come out the last couple weeks on social media. I tried to avoid that before, but just these last couple of weeks, I just started posting things in my stories that have really pissed me off. So I don't know. I used to filter that shit out, but at this point, I feel like I don't really care anymore. If I want to post something, I'm gonna post it.
Do you have a separate Instagram, like a personal one?
I do. It's inactive though, just because I don't have time to toggle between two accounts. So I just have my my public one. And I mean, all of my friends like have my contact.
Yeah,
yeah. They know where to find me. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's cool.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Vanessa right after this message from our sponsor.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just wanted to hop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. We've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We laugh. We develop some film. We talk shop. It's just an all-around good time. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, this is part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Tony Totillo. And they wanted to know, what advantage does instant photos have over digital photos taken with your cell phone? Interesting.
Let me think. Well, I mean, I can say, I don't know about everybody else, but I have 2,300 photos on my cell phone and I can't tell you what they are. I think most of them are dogs that I approach on the beach or at the park when I'm jogging. And I say, can I take a picture of your dog? And then I keep it on my phone for some creepy reason.
Cute.
But, you know, I know, like, I, with these instant photos, like I have them around my apartment, they're on my refrigerator, they're in my bookmarks. When I close my book for the night, I can look at that photograph and remember a really special memory and why I wanted to take that, capture that moment in the first place. These are beautiful, kinetic little capsules of, you know, our short life lived.
I love that answer. Yeah.
That's a great answer.
And same. I mean, I don't have like strangers' dogs, but the photos on my phone. And I just looked when you said that about 2,000. I was like, man, how many do I have? I have 6,000 photos on my phone right now. Like and they're mostly pictures of my cats.
So I have almost 10,000 photos. I just had a baby, so it's just ridiculous.
You just had a baby too.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But you have to ask ourselves, like, why do we take these pictures? I mean, just of like the things that are like these screenshots, like, oh, like I have screenshots of what's so interesting to me. Like, oh, I have to take a screenshot of this. It's so funny. You know what it is? I think it's because like we take a lot of screenshots because we want to show somebody something funny or something like,
hey,
I'm going to send this in a message. But like, we're not going to send these photographs in a message. We're going to keep these forever or give them away to somebody in some meaningful way.
I've been really into like getting stuff framed now or like printing like tangible things because like having it all on the phone is like freaking me out, you know? Like I want to have it where I can look at it on the wall and have it as an actual memory or a moment versus millions of little swipes, you know?
Yeah.
How many people really want to see the enchiladas
you ate
like 4 weeks ago? Like, why did we do this? We can't help it. We cannot help taking pictures of pizza, cupcakes, food, like the coffee we picked up. We are so weird.
I know. Why do we do that? Did we do that when we didn't have that option?
No, we weren't like this before.
I don't think so.
Okay. I just couldn't remember.
The new
app. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. We are weirdos, man. That's so crazy.
Yeah. They're going to look back in 2,000 years and be like, what were they doing in the 2000s?
They're going to go through all these cloud servers and it's going to be all like you said, enchiladas.
Or they'll be walking through an art show with people.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
That would be such a cool art show. I would love to go to somebody's art show if it's just like screenshots of food that they've like eaten the past year. Oh my God, that would be so cool.
Yes.
And
I'm
then they
down.
Like talk about each meal. Oh my God. Well, I'm going home next week to California and I was planning on documenting all the burritos I'm going to eat.
Yes. There you go.
I love it.
Man.
Good answer. Great answer.
Well,
good question, too.
Good answer. And, now, this might not be as tough of a question for you. It's a two-part question that we always ask our guests. It's the desert island camera. You can only take one with you for the rest of your life. What's it going to be and why?
Desert island. Does it rain there?
I mean, maybe a little sprinkle every once in a while. But there's a photo hut there. So if you do need some like Instax film, I'm sure they carry it. It's probably outrageously priced. But
okay. So it's like a Tom Hanks situation in Castaway.
Yeah.
But with a little Photoshop.
Yeah, but with a photo.
It would probably have to be it'd probably have to just be like my Instax wide because I'm going to be by myself. No, actually I changed my mind. It's going to be, my lamography camera because I'm going to be super lonely. So I'm going to do a bunch of like double exposures where it's me with myself. So it will appear as though I'm not so lonely. And then I look at that just in case I don't have a volleyball to put like my handprint
on. Wilson. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, it'd be really funny if that did happen. I would probably just like take a bunch of like pictures of me in like different island outfits that I made. And then I would like have to create persons because I'd be like, increasingly like losing my mind, and so I have to like I don't know create some kind of narrative for characters that live there. I don't know, I just saw the movie Old, so like that's also in my head about like creating characters. That movie like tripped me out.
I'm staying away from that because I don't want to feel feelings like that.
Well, that's definitely one of the most creative answers we've had of this question. I love that. And I think that's probably the first Lomo instant wide for the show.
All right. Yeah.
So part two is the white whale camera. Is there a camera that you've always wanted to shoot that you just never had a chance to, or maybe you did try it and you just don't have it? It's kind of your white whale, your your want camera?
What? I don't know. I mean, every once in a while, I see some really cool astrophotography, but yeah. I don't really have the money for a nice camera. I don't know specifically which one I would get, just something cool enough that I can shoot yeah. Saturn's rings.
Ooh.
Because I'm like super into, I mean, I've actually used these cameras with my my telescope by putting it through the viewfinder, but they never really turn out as cool as like an actual digital astrophoto. But I've had some stuff that I've posted. It's pretty cool.
It does pretty, yeah. You've done pretty good with that setup.
Yeah, and I'm glad I went back and watched your little story memories down at the bottom and you doing the lunar eclipse that recently happened. Because that was like, dude,
that was one
of the most memorable nights I've had in a while. And it was just me, myself, sitting outside watching it with a camera, you know, looking at it. Didn't really, I think I took like two pictures and they came out horrible. But it was just the experience of watching something like that. And when the moon went blood orange, you know, it was awesome. It was really cool. And I was glad.
That was such a good night.
Yeah.
When was that? Because
it was like a month ago.
Yeah. I think I was in the middle of, you know,
yeah, you're probably doing mom
things.
Being
up with the baby. Yeah. I was like, I really want to go sit out somewhere, but I can't.
And it was like, I was waiting all week for it to happen. And then, of course, that night I forgot and then saw something on YouTube. And I was like, boom, right out the door.
Yeah.
Just like looking up like a little kid at the moon and loving every minute of it.
Oh, my gosh. It was so mad. We had like perfect conditions that
same,
night too,
same
like
here.
No clouds.
Yep.
The only thing, I forgot all my attachments for my telescope. So we drove out. And I didn't have like my good like eyepieces to connect to my camera that I knew would work, but it's all good. I mean, it was still so beautiful.
Yep.
Like, oh my gosh, looking at the stars behind the moon, you forget that there's, and it was just like literal glitter all up in that telescope.
Yep.
It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
How often do those come around?
It's more than you think, like twice.
Yeah.
I think it's like four times a year, I think. Like, but it all depends on your area. You know what I mean? Like, it all depends on what part of the world you're at is. Because I that was one of the things, I had one headphone in of like NASA's coverage of it while I was watching
cool.
it. And that was a question that someone asked. And they're like, oh, surprisingly, it's like 4 to 6 times a year, but it's only depending on where you are type
I
thing.
I see.
And that was like a total totality one here. You know, the whole thing was covered. Not all the time that happens wherever you are, depending.
Cool.
It's just cool.
Yeah.
Fun
very
stuff.
Cool. Well, Vanessa, this has been lovely. Thank you for chatting with us. And again, thank you for sharing your art. It really is like a little lovely spot to go and look and read and get out. Vanessa Project, right? The Vanessa Project? Is that right?
Vanessa Photo Project.
Yes. Yeah. Are you anywhere else? What, you want to plug a website? Is the Instagram?
The Instagram's fine. I haven't updated my website in 2 years. It's like a fossil at this point, so it's all good.
Cool. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Timothy Makeups. I have some photo-related YouTube videos. The easiest way to find those, just go to YouTube, search Timothy Makeups. I do have a website, too, that's completely out of date, and that's just timothymakeups.com. Chris, where are you?
I am Chris B. Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We're Analog Talk Pod on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And that's it. Vanessa,
Yay. Thank you.
This has been awesome.
Thank you.
I can't wait to buy the book with my little photo in there.
Yeah.
Of course. I'll save you guys the best one.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye. All right. First off, Chris and I would like to thank Vanessa for coming on the show. We had such a good time talking about your 1,000 photo project, reminiscing on analog, just an all around great conversation. And thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. That's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon only develop and hang. And I believe Chris and I are going to be doing a weekly wrap-up show, just the two of us, 30-minute or so group episodes between the two of us, you know, touching on what we did during the week or hot topics. So again, if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. That's going to be it for this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and we will see you with an all-new episode next week. Take care, guys. Later.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.